Encore with Claire O'Brien. Arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With the Dean Crow Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
Really, really, really excited about the Dean Crow and all the theatres across the Midlands, as we're now in September and it's that time of year when the theatres will be unveiling their fantastic autumn and winter calendars. But we do have the Electric Picnic before then, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about, of course, on the programme this evening. Tonight I'll be chatting to Amy Barry, the poet. You may remember that last week I brought you the first part of that interview with her. Tonight she'll be chatting about workshopping her poems with Anne-Marie Nicholan, and also about being anthologised by Elaine Nicholanon. So a really interesting interview there with Amy still to come. And also we'll be chatting to a Westmeath artist, and that is about the Eco Showboat, which is coming to the Electric Picnic as well, and that is being led by Rudy Lee McCarthy. He'll be telling us all about it a little bit later on. But of course, a lot on the programme tonight about the Electric Picnic. Very, very depressing words there from Alan O'Reilly a little bit earlier on about what the weather might be like, and of course the temptation may be, if you're having a really good night, that you'd stay in the tent anyway until 12 o'clock, until midday the next day. But lots and lots happening. I'll be giving you a little bit of a lowdown, of course, over the course of the programme, of some of the events that are happening. But one of the bands that will be performing is a new band, a relatively new band from County Laois, and they are the Outcast Crew. And I'm going to bring you, before we go any further, their new song, their most recent release, and it is called Wait Till the Sun Goes Down. And hopefully it's not Wait Till the Sun Goes Down so that you can sleep through all the rain and wake up to a better day the following day. And if you haven't been to the Electric Picnic, you probably don't know that the area is laid out with lots of different stages, and some of them, you know, give the impression of being very close together, but there are others that are kind of in unexpected little places. And one of those stages is a relatively new one, and it is called Spike Island, and that is where you will hear the Outcast Crew tomorrow night if you're at the Electric Picnic, and that is at the Spike Island stage. It's actually a whole kind of an arena. It's really nice, very unusual and quirky, and worth, you could spend a lot of the weekend there on its own, I suppose. That's the Outcast Crew. If you were listening to that and you were saying to yourself, that fiddle playing sounds familiar, it's familiar because it is the same fiddle player that you may know from the Laois band Cua, whom we've often played on the programme. And that was two songs from their debut album, Myths and Yarns. It came out last year and was voted last year one of the top 20 new albums of 2021. In terms of Celtic punk music. So there you go. The Outcast Crew, Spike Island stage, Electric Picnic tomorrow. And something to look forward to. They'll also be playing in Cavanaghs on later on in September. We'll tell you more about that closer to the date. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to hear a little bit more from poet Amy Barry from Athlone. Still to come on the programme this evening, I will be talking about the Eco Showboat, which you may have heard of as it made its way down the Shannon earlier on in the year, but it's coming in its own way to the Electric Picnic. We'll be finding out about that a little bit later on in the programme. But tonight, for now, the conversation continues with Athlone poet Amy Barry. You might remember we were chatting to her last week on the programme. She is one of the poets chosen for the 2022 Poetry Ireland Introduction Series. And the second part of the conversation deals a little bit more with the actual writing process and the work she's involved in at the moment. But I began this part of the conversation by asking her what it was like to have her name at the top of the list. Admittedly, it was an alphabetical list, but at top of the list of poets in the Cyphers 93 edition, which was edited by poet Elaine Nicholan. And of course, that edition also includes poems by poets like Moya Cannon and Enda Wiley, very established poets. And Amy began by talking to me about the work then that she was doing with Anne-Marie Nicholan, who was, Nicoran, who was helping her with her editing. Have a listen to this.
I had a bit of fun actually with going through and forth with Anne-Marie Nicholan. You know, she is you know, I had really good fun because when I submitted my work to her, and there was the last line she was saying to me that, Amy, can we change the last line about that bird? Somehow, I'm not too happy with that bird because I think that bird makes too much noise, you know? Because initially I said, I left my 12-year-old body in a place, calm as a dove, singing in a field. And she said, oh, that dove is not calm at all. It's a nuisance, you know? And then, so I re-sent to her and said, okay, I would say, I left my 12-year-old body in a place, calm as a robin, I said, singing in a field, you know? And then, yeah, she said, well, all right, okay, I'll accept that. So it was nice because, of course, I'm very honored to be accepted by Cypress, you know, to be among all the other really fantastic writers, fantastic talents. You know, I'm very happy. Yeah. And I guess what I'm doing now is in my collection is I have a mentor, Thomas McCarthy, which I was awarded by Woods Island to have a mentor for my collection, and I had Thomas McCarthy. So I'm very blessed to have him as my mentor to advise me, you know, in my collection.
And what are you learning from him, Amy?
Loads. You see, prior to this, I've been writing a lot of my work really taking into themes all around Ireland, actually. But he says to me that, you know, Amy, you should be more digging into your Asian experience, Asian history as well. What are the myths that's there in Asia? What are the history that's there that you think that should be included, you know? So, you know, just a few sentences like that, I dig into all my experiences, you know, my past experience, my Asian experience, whatever, and these will be added to my collection. So they will be stronger, you know, so I'm quite happy, you know, the way, you know, it's amazing how a mentor can just say to you a few lines and then you're like, oh, okay, you know. I guess when you have a really experienced, you know, acclaimed poet like Thomas McCarthy, I think it really, really helps a lot, you know, when you are really emerging like myself, you know, so it really helps me a lot. So I'm really happy.
Yeah. And I imagine people locally will be used to hearing you referred to as Athlone poet Amy Barry. So where does your Asian heritage fit into that story of you and to the stories that you tell in your poetry?
See, now, because this will be my debut collection, so to introduce myself, Amy Abdullah Barry, that would be really right, really, because it was Thomas who told me that, Amy, you should put your father's name there too, because now that you're introducing your Asian background, whatever, it's nice to link, you know, your name to somewhere Asian, so somewhere that's from, I'm from Malaysia anyway. So something Asian, so at least people know these, you know, when they read your poem, you know, they can link to it, you know, oh, Abdullah and then Barry, you know. Yeah. So it'll be a mix of Irish interesting stories in my poem and also
the Malaysian
with my
influence.
Asian background, the Malaysian background. Yeah. You know, I talk about everything really in my new collection. Yeah.
And it's interesting too, Amy, that the theme that you took for Poetry Day was that poetry is borderless. And of course, your own poetry is translated into a number of languages, Italian, Turkish, Azerbaijani, Persian.
Yeah.
Why do you think your poetry speaks to those audiences?
Yeah, because you see, when some of the overseas directors say in Italy, for example, Maria, when she read my work, A Boy's Life in Gaza, you know. So she is also at the moment the director for Foundation of Peace and also the literary director in Puglia. So immediately when she saw that, she sort of, you know, she just connect with it. And I think that's why I was invited a couple of times to Puglia, and then I was awarded that Neruda Award in Italy. And there's some poems that I think that really relate to some people, the other director in Turkey, Leyla. You know, she was really happy with some of my work. She, I think, some of my love poems, she was really intrigued, you see. So I guess that's how I was invited to all these overseas readings, you know, where I get to read in at the mayor's office. I get to read in hotels. I got to read in universities, like in the Turkish universities. The students love all my love poems. It was quite interesting, actually. And that was like in 2000, I forgot now when I went to Izmir, 2018, December, I think. And until now, I'm in contact with the students from that university, which is quite interesting because they wanted to improve their English. They say, let's communicate. So I'm communicating with some of the students in Izmir until now on WhatsApp.
It kind of gives a lie to this notion that poets are isolated, working entirely on their own, because the picture that you have painted today is of a really interconnected network of people and a network of impacts on your work.
Yeah, you see, Claire, I love to travel, you know. So and it was interesting that to know that my poetry can take me traveling. You see, traveling, I'm reading in Paris, for example, and in fact, I just received an email from Paris Lit Up because a few of my work appeared in the journals, so they have invited me to come for a two-day event of the launch, you know, which will be coming in June, you know. So, yeah. So it's interesting when you meet other people, I got to know, like in Paris, for example, one of the editors in the Paris Lit Up Journal, Malik Crumpler, he's originally from America. He's a rapper, a poet, and also a professor in creative writing. So we got to know each other by meeting in our readings in Paris. And until now, you know, and another interesting story was, I was doing a poetry class in a national school here in Atlod, in Konosula. And as usual, you know, the girls love poetry, but the boys not at all. So I was trying to think hard, what do I do with them? So what I did was I brought my laptop and I showed them the reading of Malik Crumpler. And Malik is also a rapper. So he reads poetry with a music background, okay, with a rap, you see. So the boys were so interested. So at least I make them, you know, welcome to poetry and to be inclusive in the class as well. So after that, they say, wow, this is cool. We like that, you know. Yeah, that was really nice, actually. Yeah,
so yeah, it's really, you know, positive.
And then you're always trying to create something, you know, trying to create how to give interest to all these people. They're only, you know, you're talking about 11-year-old boys, you know, they, no, poetry is not for us, you know, but now they like it. Yeah.
So finally, Amy, in this very successful 2022 that you're having, we are only halfway through the year. How do you see the rest of the year panning out, moving into 2023? What's your hope for achievement?
Well, I hope that, you know, I hope to hear some good news from a publisher or a certain publisher, you know, with my collection. I hope to have a collection out by then. And then I hope also in my writing journey, you know, to still continue doing more writing poetry for the next collection. And at the same time, because I also write short stories, I'm hopeful to have like an anthology of short stories as well, a collection of that, you know. And now that my children are bigger and my youngest daughter is going off to college soon, so I'd be more mobile. So I'm hopeful to be traveling somewhere, sitting in a house for a month or two by the sea, for example, Brittany. I've been planning this, you know, to myself, actually. I hope to be in Brittany, actually, for a month or two to be writing away new work, craft new work, you know. So, you know, that's my ambition, actually, for the moment. Yeah, I'm hopeful.
And we're all hopeful for Amy. It's such a really interesting interview, isn't it, about the nuts and bolts of the day-to-day life of a poet, about the working on the work, the connecting with other people, the plans, the hopes, the intentions, particularly, you know, as she says there, her family are growing up and she's a little bit more time for herself and space to expand as a poet. A really, really interesting interview, I think, with Amy over the last 2 weeks. And thanks so much to her for chatting to us on the programme. I also see that we just had, and speaking of Athlone poets, little bit just yesterday, Jackie Gorman from Athlone announced that her collection of poems that she mentioned to us the last time she was in with us, it's called Inland Notes, a sequence of poems about Westmeath, and she was supported by the Arts Council with an Agility Award to make this happen. But the poems are inspired by the ecology of Westmeath and they are gone off to the publishers. Oh, there's another Athlone poet interview we'll have to have before too very long on the programme. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's all about eco showboats. Have you never heard of one of those? We'll find out all about it in just a couple of minutes. The Eco Showboat Exhibition 2022 was a four-month arts voyage from Limerick to Enniskillen aboard the Mayfly, the flagship of the Eco Showboat project. It is coming to the Electric Picnic, and while it is there, it will be represented by a local artist, and his name is Rudy Lee McCarthy, and he is from Clonmellon. Rudy Lee, you're very welcome to Encore this evening. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not so bad at all. Tell us a little bit about the Eco Showboat. First of all, about what happened for that four-month expedition.
Yeah, so the Eco Showboat is a solar-powered boat. Right now, we have the boat called the Mayfly, and we have the 48M, which is a barge that's stored in Tullamore. But it was an expedition that travelled up from Limerick to Enniskillen over the span of 4 months. It brought together eco-conscious artists, scientists, and general eco-conscious, the public that was eco-conscious, and brought them all together in outdoor places like the marinas, brought them for nature walks and so on, while also exhibiting art and having science lectures. It was quite a surreal project, to be honest. I got to join in June and travelled the second half of the expedition and really see it play out. Some amazing artists like Christine Mackey, Parag Cunningham, Anna McLeod, and to mention a few, took part in it alongside some amazing scientists. And yeah, it was just quite surreal.
No, I was just about to say, it is the brainchild of Anne Cleary and Dennis Connolly, two artists. What became clear for you as you were spending that bit of time with the Eco Showboat? What did you learn about the connection between art, science and the environment?
So, Anne and Dennis set out to kind of bring them together, to merge the two fields together. And the two fields have always been interconnected with each other. As far back as we look into our history, there really has been an interconnection, whether it was pseudoscience or modern day science. So their ambition was to bring this to the general public, and while I got involved, I really seen how much there was a cry out for people to get involved with eco arts and eco science. So many people engaging with it, finding interest in learning new things and asking relevant questions. Lots of debates, lots of conversations that needed to be had, taken into account also what it meant to the community. For instance, talking about fracking in our last event in Enniskillen, hearing the community's point of view on these topics was quite interesting, especially as a young artist. We tend to see the gallery kind of create a divide between artists and the public, and this really broke away from that, revolutionised, in my opinion, how we view art in Ireland, and made the artist on the ground, had the artist on the ground with the public and alongside the scientists.
And your own work as a visual artist is very much inspired by science and nature. Tell us about the film that you made, Mycelium Trip.
Yeah, so the film was a short film depicting the concept of the Anthropocene, which is this idea that we've entered an epoch where man-made objects have caused destruction to nature, to really symbolise it.
Mm-hmm.
The film set out to tell this story of the evolution of mankind and the downfall and the evolution and the takeover of fungi following, if nuclear war was to happen in that case. And it was taking a lot of inspiration from a book called Mushroom at the End of the World. And while making it, I was growing lion's mane, grey oyster, pink oyster, and really getting to understand the mushroom in a physical sense.
Okay.
And hooking them up to Arduino software and making soundtracks with them. So the soundtrack to the short film is actually made with I think it's the connectivity that goes on within the mushroom on a molecular level. Sorry for messing up the word, but
that's
really
okay.
Kind of happens. It's like this energy that is stored in the mushroom is released through noises. And I was sampling that and using that to generate the soundtrack for the short film, which is completely animated too.
I suppose the first thing people are going to say is, I didn't know mushrooms made sounds.
Mushrooms make sounds, yeah. No, it was quite a surreal kind of exploration. There's been a lot of things coming about with plantesthesia, and PlantWave is a software that's after being commercialized. And there's like this movement on the internet of making music with plants, like household plants, but mushrooms hold untapped like inspiration for creativity, and so many books, so many artists have explored them. Especially one of the artists that we had involved in the events, Christine Mackey. It's untapped inspiration, and to make music with them is it's quite surreal, because you have to. It's a very intimate kind of process of hooking up the cables to a breadboard, and then hooking it up to your laptop and playing with the mushroom that as if it's an instrument, using it. Like
wow.
It's the piano, and your touch generates noise as it sends the energy through the mushroom and relays it back to a synth, and it's got a really nice noise to it. It's kind of like a pew to explain it.
Well, yeah, mushrooms don't have chlorophyll, I think, but you use chlorophyll to make eco prints. So you're very engaged with nature, science, and art in your own work. In a very physical way, not just the sound, but the materials.
Yeah, to use chlorophyll to make prints, again, is the intimate process of going out to nature, understanding the area, understanding the plants that are grown in your local areas. Like Gurdy Bog, for instance, was one place that I went out to explore and forage equipment to make these prints. And then to do it, it's kind of like a cooking process with a little bit of pseudoscience or science added to it, but it's kind of esoteric, pre-modern science kind of experiments that would have been happening that influenced this, where you use rust to react with vinegar to extract the chlorophyll and stain the paper. So, to use it and to create these magnificent kind of interconnected prints that all tell a story of the local ecosystem was quite surreal as well.
I'm thinking of all the primary school teachers and the art teachers who are listening, thinking, oh God, that sounds like it's really interesting. We might give that a go in school. You're going to be around all weekend at the Eco Showboat. You're at the Human Lab Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Tell us about what is happening. What are you doing there? There's a variety of different events happening.
Yeah, and we're so excited to bring it to the Electric Picnic. So on the Friday, we have the introduction. Sadly, Anne and Dennis have commitments over in France and can't make it to the Eco Showboat, and have given me an amazing opportunity to represent them, the project, in Electric Picnic. It's so surreal. So the Friday, I will be telling the story of Anne and Dennis and their voyage from Limerick to Enniskillen. The hiccups that came in the way, the successes that came too. And it's a very interesting story. It talks about 48M barge, it talks about the mayfly, it talks about the artists, the scientists that got involved. following that discussion, we'll have Deirdre Murphy, who will be playing their song that was commissioned by Alan Dennis called The Water Song. And they will be playing that alongside Lily Sheehan and Jason McNamara and other songs too. And then right as this is going on, we'll have the School of Looking event with our resident marine biologist, Rachel O'Malley, and which is all about looking at nature and experiencing nature and drawing nature and really appreciating it for the things that we might forget about when we're walking around the forest or if we're looking into a river. You know, it's really taking what's hidden in plain sight and seeing it in the foreground. Then on the Saturday, we have Neil O'Briacon talking about his research, which is magnificent. It's going to be great. It's called For Pete's Sake.
It's going to have a great interest, a great appeal for a Midlands audience.
Yeah. Like, the research alone is exploring the bogs and, you know, post-turf cutting bog culture, you know, where it goes after turf cutting and what we can adapt the bog to, how we can financially adapt from the bog outside of turf cutting, and just the wonders that are held within re-wetted bogs. And then on the Sunday, we will have emerging artists, myself and two artists that I had the privilege of studying alongside, Lisa Della Chiesa and Luke Pendlebury, will be discussing their artwork with me, and we'll be just talking about what it's like being an emerging artist in the eco art world, the contemporary art world of Ireland, and just how the Eco Showboat is laying the foundations for artists like us to get involved, get proactive. The Eco Showboat has another program coming up, and it's you know, like, it's changing the way we view eco art. Like, you know, art is a word we often think paintings and so on. So as young artists that are interested in making chlorophyll prints or playing around with mushrooms, or Lisa makes magnificent clothes from recycled materials based on hunting materials and other found objects, and Luke is telling the story of the housing crisis using really organic kind of shapes and forms. It's quite, you know, inspiring to see Anne and Dennis lay the foundation for what we are going into as young artists.
I know Anne and Dennis are really keen, particularly from people from the Midlands, especially from Westmeath, from whom there'll be lots at the picnic, to come along and see what you're doing, particularly eco-conscious people who might be at the picnic. And there are lots, because there's a huge environmental element to the picnic. And they also want to see more young artists and studying artists get involved with the Eco Showboat, because it is going to continue into 2023, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to continue, and it's, you know, like, the what's in talks is already amazing. To see young artists engaged, we've been seeing a lot of young artists now engaging. That we have the three, myself and Lisa and Luke, involved. To see them get engaged and find what's happening interesting and so on is very inspiring, because it's these artists that are emerging, that are studying, that, you know, one day we'll be doing similar projects. And it's so to get active, to get proactive, to get involved, it's not only a great opportunity to learn, but it's a great opportunity to network, it's a great opportunity to learn something and ask questions, you know, like, that's the main thing. Anne and Dennis, when they're at their events, you can go up and you can talk to the two of them, and they can give you a wealth of knowledge on the art world, on the science world. They're architects by trade and study, so like these conversations that they can produce is always interesting. And then to have three young artists now representing them on the Sunday is a great opportunity to come and talk to someone your own age, to hear their story, to hear how they're starting to break through into the art world, and, you know, just network, learn, experience and enjoy.
Okay, so the website is schooloflooking.org, but I think if people put Eco Showboat into Google, or you're on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook as well, they'll find out all about it. Rudy, thanks a million for talking to us. Have a great picnic, and We hope that you have lots of people from the Midlands and from further afield coming along to chat to you and find out a bit more about what you're at. Thanks, Minion, for chatting to us in the programme.
No problem. Thank you so much.
That's all. It's a pleasure to have you. And that is Rudy Lee McCarthy from Clonmelon talking about the Eco Showboat. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we will have some more music, and then we'll have a little bit more about the picnic for you, just about what's happening and where it's happening, and you know, things that are, I suppose, a little bit different this year to how they have been in previous years. So do stay with us on Encore on Midlands 103. And you're welcome back to the programme. Lots of changes, big ones and small ones, happening at the Electric Picnic this year. One of them is that the Body and Soul organisation is no longer part of Electric Picnic, but they have kept the idea of Body and Soul and replaced it with Mind and Body. So there are lots of things happening in a similar style of area. There's a wellness circle there. You're going to catch all kinds of Midlands performers will be there as well. I know King Kevin is going to be there. There's a consciousness village that's going to be part of that. All kinds of, there's Nordic wellness, which is a hideaway for relaxation and rejuvenation. Very, very important at the picnic. And also an area called The Haunt, where kind of anything goes. There's all kinds of bits of strange creatures and bits of art. There's yoga happening there, laughter yoga, poetry yoga, Qigong, and all kinds of things happening around the that area of the new Mind and Body arena. Something else that's changing a little bit, one of the highlights of the Electric Picnic has always been Jerry Fish's Electric Sideshow, and they are changing that this year. He now has an entire town, Fish Town. And Jerry Fish, you know, of an emotional fish, he started out as the captain of the Salty Dog, but he is moving to a much kind of a bigger idea. It's a carnival town, full of folklore, very theatrical, circus culture, all of that happening in the Stradbally Estate. And of course, the Electric Sideshow Circus Tent will be there. There will be a Heart and Anchor Bar, all kinds of things, performing artists, things you have never seen before in your life. And as well, of course, the music is such, is terrific. Who are you going to hear at the Fish, at Fishtown? Mick Flannery and Susan O'Neill. We've played them often on the programme, the Frank and Waters. Camilla Sullivan is there. Jack Lukeman, the Blizzards are there. Lots more as well. And in, oh, the Paler there as well. I should give them a mention. They'll always be great. But just in honour of Jerry Fish, we'll give you a little taste of an emotional fish. In that order, the celebrating, the party, and then the going home, and hopefully not spending too much time in the tent in the rain, as Carlo Weathers, Alan O'Reilly was suggesting a little bit earlier on. But in the tents, in the at the Electric Picnic, there are many things that you can be doing. One of the areas that's really an awful lot of fun, and I head there every year, in spite of my age, is the Little Picnic. It's a really child-friendly area. They have all kinds of things. And if you have kids going on there with you, you can go to the fairy godmother who will be there for you. There's usually a bit of sport. There's a kids disco that'll be happening. The Gaiety School of Acting is going to put on a show. Junk Couture will be there at a Little Picnic. You can play some music. There will be robots from Munster Technological University. There's creative writing. The Fighting Words team will be there. There's an All Abilities Neurodiversity Inclusion Project, which will connect all kinds of people, regardless of your inclinations. There'll be social, creative and well-being programmes, and that is at the heart of the sensory play area there. And there will be all kinds of bits and pieces, and that opens at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. There is also going to be the usual things that people really look forward to, obviously the main headline acts in the main arena. There's a theatrical stage. There is also, and I can't put my hand on it at the moment, but there's a whole podcast arena and a podcast stage, which sounds like it's going to be particularly interesting as well. And of course, we cannot let an Electric Picnic year go by without mentioning Marty Mulligan from Mullingar, because of course Marty is back with the Mindfields Arena, and he's changing it up a little bit this year, as he does every single year, but he is hoping to channel a little bit of the energy of the FLA. So He has 62 different acts. A third of them are from Mullingar because, well, this is what he does. You can catch up with people there like Conor Quinn, Niamh Kirby, Paulie Martin and friends. He's doing his own gig, which is called Scam, Marty Mulligan, Frank Byrne. And he'll have a few special guests, Joe Murray and Ross Gavin. And he says it will rock and shake, shock and tell it like it is. He's also going to have musicians from all over the world, UK, Germany, France, South Africa. Africa under Irish skies is something that he'll have there. He'll also have some of the people we've had on the programme recently. The Cúige Arts Project will be there. Liam Hall Walsh will be there with his film, The Lads. Lots and lots and lots happening. If you're going, have a great time. Take care of yourself. Stay dry. Stay well. We'll talk to you next week on Encore. Good night.